Well, as you know, we've been doing a series. It's called Healing Your Gift from God. Believe it or not, we're up to part 17 tonight. And last week I started on roadblocks of healing, and tonight we're going to do part 2 of the roadblocks. So if this is your first time tuning in with us tonight, I just encourage you, if you'd like to get to the beginning of the series, it started back on October the 11th of 2023, and you can go to our website, our homepage. In the middle, you'll see messages. You'll see there the title, Healing Your Gift from God. If you click that on, you can go all the way back and begin to listen to the messages to get caught up. So hopefully you're enjoying the series. I know I am. And sometimes you think you have answers to things, and then the more you study, the more you realize you need more to know. Amen. So let's do our declaration and then a quick review. So the declaration, I encourage everyone to say this out daily, and it goes like this. I operate from a position of victory because I have already won. I always approach the enemy from a position of power because the power of God is in me. We have 3 anchor scriptures. They're all from the Passion Translation. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. Romans 16:20, the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet, and the wonderful favor of our Lord Jesus will surround you. And then Romans 8:10-11, now, not tomorrow, now Christ lives his life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, never forget that, God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. Anything that's going on in your body because of the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit being in you can be restored. In the fellowship of being one with him is our healing. Amen. So last week we began to look at the different roadblocks and why people are not healed. And the first reason was a lack of knowledge from the word that God is the healer. And many people don't know what the word says about healing. We looked at different translations on Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then the New Living Translation says, and my people are destroyed because they don't know me. 2 critical points. We don't have the knowledge and we don't really know him. We can have information about Jesus, about God, but that's totally different. We need that personal relationship with him. Satan would prefer that we remain ignorant of the word of God on the subject. In fact, he would like us to actually blame God for early deaths, tragic events, and all sickness and disease. He doesn't want us to know about God or know him personally. So we have to hear the word of God in order to have faith for healing. We have often heard the statement, faith begins where the will of God is known. So in reality, we need to have the knowledge of the word to get to that point. Amen. So we looked at Romans 1:16-17, where it talks about not being ashamed of the gospel. We looked at Exodus 15:25, Romans 12:1-2, having our minds renewed. And each of us have arrived at our place of maturity or carnality based on our past experiences in life, based on traditions of men, opinions, and church experiences. So when these issues in our life do not line up with the word of God, it is up to us to relearn and learn more and continue learning about the word. This may take place to make changes and corrections, but fixing it will help us reach a level of maturity much needed in the body of Christ. It will take time, and sometimes it's years, to make those changes. Something the Holy Spirit gave me the other day, it said, when ignorance or lack of knowledge abounds, more teaching is needed. Teaching is always the answer because we need to know the word. The second reason people are not healed is this particular belief. God sends sickness on people. We looked at that from the Old Testament and the original Hebrew. The translations should have been in the permissive tense and not the causative sense, okay? So we have no scriptural support that God puts sickness on anyone. And what we did see was from Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Amen. For God was with him. So Jesus was the healer. He did all the healing, and Satan was the oppressor. God doesn't have any sickness or disease in heaven to put on anyone. And then the third reason we looked at was that people are not healed because of fear. So I referred you back to the fourth message and that I had taught in this series, and I talked about the fear of death. Because so many times when people are given an evil report and a doctor says, oh, you have 6 months to live, or you have 3 months to live, all right, fear will overtake people and they can't unhook, and they get so overwhelmed with the knowledge of or what the doctor's saying and the fear that they end up being given up. And the fear of death can sometimes be overwhelming. So as Christians, we have left death and entered life because of Jesus. We looked at Job and how fear was the reason for his life evolving into a nightmare of issues and physical symptoms. We looked at Job 3:25, and it says, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." So we have to realize that fear will play a part in our getting healed if we don't have control over it. So we looked at 2 Timothy 1:7 in the Amplified. "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm, well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control." So each of us needs to know that there's strongholds which can come along and hinder us in this area of fear. A stronghold is an area in which we are held in bondage due to a wrong way of thinking. So if we will obey 2 Corinthians 10:4 to 6 and cast down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, then we can overcome any stronghold. Maintain healthy, fear-free thoughts by staying built up on healing scriptures and casting down any thoughts of fear. Amen? So tonight we're going to continue. We're going to do 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. I believe we'll get through them tonight. So we're up to number 4. And the number 4 reason that people are not healed is unbelief. Unbelief is definitely a roadblock to healing. Now, I covered that topic back in number 12, message number 12 in this series. And we looked at the two kinds of unbelief. We looked at the ways to cure them. We also looked at mental agreement versus mental assent versus walking in faith. And I talked about unbelief on an individual basis, how each of us is responsible for our believing. So if you think that this is your issue, go back and re-listen to number 12. But unbelief can also hinder healing when we see it in a community or a corporate setting. So Christ himself, under the full anointing of the Holy Ghost, was hindered by community unbelief. Now, let's go to Mark 6, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 6. I'm going to start by reading it in the New King James and then the Passion. Mark 6, verse 1. Now, this is talking about Jesus, all right, and when he went to the city of Nazareth. "Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands?'" So notice, They saw him do things. They saw the miracles. They heard him. Verse 3, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. They were offended. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Teaching. Okay, so when we have a lack of knowledge, teaching is necessary. Listen to these verses in the Passion. Afterward, Jesus left Capernaum and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. On the Sabbath, he went to teach in the synagogue. Everyone who heard his teachings was overwhelmed with astonishment. They said among themselves, what incredible wisdom has been given to him. They acknowledged there was a difference. Where did he receive such profound insights? And what mighty miracles flow through his hands. Isn't this Mary's son, the carpenter, the brother of Jacob, Joseph, Judah, and Simon? And doesn't his sisters all live here in Nazareth? And they took offense at him. All right, so Jesus said to them, a prophet is treated with honor everywhere except in his own hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house. He was unable to do any great miracle in Nazareth except to heal a few people by laying his hands upon them. He was amazed at the depth of their unbelief. Then Jesus went out into the different villages and taught the people. So you could see healing was hindered because of their unbelief. When the people were off or offended at Jesus, it caused them to step into unbelief. They were doing good, talking about how great he was and what was going on, then boom. Ooh, who is this guy? Really, isn't he the son of Joseph? So they were offended, and now they have stepped into unbelief. The word offended means scandalized, and in the Greek it's scandalizo. It means to entrap, trip up, stumble, or entice to sin, apostasy or displeasure, make to offend, a trap stick, a snare, the cause of displeasure or sin, occasion to fail, thing that offends, stumbling block. So many of you may have recalled way back when Pastor Sarah did a message about offense, and she used Psalm 119, verse 165. And so it just simply says, with great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And I remember her clearly saying how important it was for us not to become offended. We're going to have multiple opportunities of offense, but it's on our part to not become offended. So in this situation, offense caused them to end up in unbelief. So I'm going to talk about offense later on, because this is an interesting subject and there's more information on that. So because they knew him as the carpenter's son, he couldn't possibly be the Messiah. So the trap was set and they stumbled right into sin. So again, we need to learn from that. Think for a minute about David, King David, okay? When Samuel came to Jesse, to his family there to anoint him, his own family didn't even call him from the fields with the sheep. And again, when he went to the front lines where his brothers were in battle with the Israelites, they were listening to Goliath every day. David comes along, and even his brother berated him for coming there. So sometimes we have to be very careful what you may think about a family member or someone in your neighborhood that you knew back when. Being offended or stepping into unbelief never works to our benefit. So this was not the first time that Jesus was rejected at Nazareth. If you looked at Luke 4, Jesus went into the temple and opened the scrolls, stating that he had fulfilled the scriptures about the Messiah. They proceeded to try and throw him over a cliff. They were offended, Okay. So Jesus himself encountered community unbelief. Now, in the church, follow me now here. Okay. In the church itself, many today are not healed if people don't have clear teaching on the subject and are influenced by traditions of men. Certain denominations believe that healing was done away with after the apostles. So if you go to a church and it's not being taught from the pulpit, then you're not going to see any demonstration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you're not going to see people get healed. That's community or corporate unbelief. And if you question it, go to the Word and study it out, and you will find the truth. Amen? So because some are not healed, what happens in some situations, preachers will rewrite the scriptures. They'll give their own version of the word, casting doubt on the will of God to heal. And it's so unfortunate people believe it without reading it for themselves. I also want to point out the unbelief of Israel and how it hurt them, but God took their unbelief and used it to our benefit. We're going to go to Romans 11, verses 17 to 23. So the unbelief of Israel opened the door of opportunity for the Gentiles to be grafted in. Romans 11, I'm going to start reading in verse 17 to 23, and I'm going to read it from the Voice. Imagine some branches are cut off of the cultivated olive tree and other branches of a wild olive, which represents all of you outsiders, are grafted in their place. So the cultivated ones are the Jews, all right? You are nourished by the root of the cultivated olive tree. It doesn't give you license to become proud and self-righteous about the fact that you've been grafted in. If you do boast, remember that the branches do not sustain the root. It is the system of roots that nourishes and supports you. Verse 19. I can almost hear some of you saying, branches had to be pruned to make room for me. Yes, they were. They were removed because they did not believe. They were removed because they did not believe or unbelief. And you will stay attached, be strong, and be productive only through faith. Just like Abraham, through faith, stayed in that right position. So don't think too highly of yourselves. Instead, stand in awe of God's mercy. Thank you, Lord. Besides, we know that God did not spare the natural branches, so there is no reason to think he will spare you. Witness the simultaneous balance of the kindness and severity of our God. Severity is directed at the fallen branches withering without faith, yet kindness is directed at you. So live in the kindness of God, or else prepare to be cut off yourselves. If those branches that have been cut off from the tree do not stay in unbelief, then God can carefully graft them back onto the tree because he has the power to do that. So we Gentiles need to be grateful for the Jewish roots of our faith. And when we're praying for revival, include the Jews because they can be grafted back in. We don't want people in unbelief. We want them to come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And there's a huge movement of Messianic Jews, individuals born as Jews, but believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So in summary, reason number 4, it can be overridden with scriptural teaching of the truth. Once an individual is taught correctly about healing, then multiple individuals making up the corporate community can operate in the same truth, overcoming unbelief. So we're up now to reason number 5. The 5th reason why people are not healed is they believe that we can glorify God more by remaining sick and exhibiting patience than we can by being divinely healed. Okay. So they think that instead of being divinely healed, you give God glory by being sick and being patient. This is an absolute lie straight from the pit of hell. Absolute lie. Okay. I just, you know, some of these reasons, when you think about them and you're studying, I kind of feel like, you know, scratching my hands down a chalkboard. Just like, no, this isn't real. So let's go to Luke 5, 25 and 26. Luke 5, 25, 26. I'm going to read it from the New King James. And this is the story of the gentleman who brought the paralyzed individual on a cot. They brought him to Jesus and broke through the roof, okay, to get this man to Jesus. And we're up to verse 25. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Okay, so notice the healing first, then the glory to God, and then everybody around gave glory to God. And these were religious leaders that came to hear Jesus at that time. Okay, let's go to Luke 17. And we're going to read verses 11 to 18, the New King James also. And this is when the 10 lepers were cleansed and healed. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And as you know, at that time, you had to walk around and be yelling, unclean, unclean, and you could not approach or be close to other people. And the other people knew that that you were separated from them and you should not be connected to each other. And you were given the opportunity to keep your distance. And when they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God. Glory to God. He's coming back with a loud voice, glorified God. Fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Praise God. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God? Except this foreigner. Now notice, Jesus is connecting the healing of the lepers to God getting the glory. All right. So the Samaritan gave God the glory because he was healed. Not because, listen, leprosy is one of the most horrible diseases a person can have. The body literally rots away. And so imagine, you know, this individual, God's not going to get glory for this person experiencing this disease and suffering. Their whole life is destroyed, all right? But this person gave God the glory when he was healed. Then down in verse 18, Jesus himself is talking about the fact that the glory should be given to God and that these others should have come back. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? So again, the glory is given to God when there's a healing. Let's go to Luke 18, verses 35 to 43. We'll start at verse 35 in the New King James. Luke 18, verse 35. Then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And then Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. Glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So he glorified God, and everybody else there who witnessed it were praising God. So God didn't get any glory from this man being blind, but he did get glory when the man was healed. So if you ever hear somebody say, oh, God will get glory out of me being sick, okay, tell them that's a myth. That's not true. That's a lie. Because some people think that they have to suffer in that condition, that it gives God glory. Let's go to John 11, verse 4. And this is the story about Lazarus. John 11, 4 in the New King James. I'm just going to read it in the New King James and then the Passion. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now listen to it in the Passion. I think it makes it much more understandable. It says in the Passion, when he heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death for Lazarus, but will bring glory and praise to God. This will reveal the greatness of the Son of God by what takes place. So Lazarus died, but Jesus knew that the sickness that took him to death was going to end up being healed and taken care of, and God would get the glory when Lazarus was raised. So if God is to get glory in sickness, then pastors or us in the body, we don't have to go and pray for anyone. However, pastors are to practice James 5, verses 14 and 15, which contradicts this. All right, so let's look at James 5, verses 14, 15 in the New King James. And it says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. You're sick, you're suffering, you're in bed, okay? Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, it doesn't say the Lord will keep him in bed to suffer. No, it says the Lord will raise him up. So people have been taught that one can glorify God more by remaining sick than by being healed. Again, this is an utter lie and straight from the pit of hell. And we need to help people that, no, this isn't what the word says, and it isn't what you should follow for yourself. Anyone in the medical profession, myself included, would be out of the will of God if we believe this, because we go about trying to get people healed. Instead, we should just, you know, walk past the hospital rooms. Okay, suffer. You haven't suffered enough. Have patience. But that's ridiculous, isn't it? In fact, all of us would be, you know, doctors would be out of business because we shouldn't be going to them to get healed. You can see how ridiculous it gets, right? The real truth with this lie is that scripture shows us how God got glory when people were healed. Jesus would have been considered disobedient or even accused of stealing the glory from God, because for the 3 years of his ministry, he went about healing multitudes and many. So in summary, reason number 5, the scriptures once again prove that God gets glory when people are healed and not from being sick and suffering. So let's go to reason number 6, which is people are not healed because the age of miracles has passed. This reason is more foolish and illogical and unscriptural than all the others put together. The age of miracles has passed. That's what many say. So the Holy Spirit, in whose age we are now living, okay, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, is God's only miracle worker, the only administrator of the Father's will. He's the one who healed all the sick multitudes when Christ was on the earth. All the miracles were done until the day of Pentecost. They were accomplished by the Holy Spirit, the miracle worker. So this was before he had entered officially into his own dispensation. Now, think for a minute. If the age of the Holy Spirit was past, nobody could get saved. Salvation would not be available to anybody, because salvation is one of the greatest miracles that one can experience, and it happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if the power of the Holy Spirit is past, Follow me now. Then the Bible has been turned into a historical storybook. That's all the Bible is. Then they're saying there's no power in the word. We know that there's power in that word. So the Bible becomes a storybook, a historical book. The age in which we live was intended by our Heavenly Father to be the most miraculous of all the dispensations. It is the miracle worker's age, or the Holy Spirit's dispensation. Now, during this age, the great promise is that God will pour out the Holy Spirit, the miracle worker, upon all flesh. So this is also the only age in which the miracle worker would incarnate himself in us. Yeah, he's in us. Okay. As we know, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, this is the age when we are to do the same works that Jesus did, and greater works would be done by the Holy Spirit, the miracle worker. So let's go to John 14:12. John 14:12, the New King James. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." The works that I do, he will do also. Now, Jesus did the miracles by the Holy Spirit, and we know that when he left, he said, "I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter," okay, who was to lead us into all truth. And then he says, "And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father." So we are to do the works of Jesus, which requires the Holy Spirit. Listen to it in the Passion. "I tell you this timeless truth." Now, to me, when you see timeless truth, that means it's an ongoing truth throughout time. "The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles," which require the power of the Holy Spirit, "will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father." So if I'm to do the same works as Jesus, I need the Holy Spirit. His power needs to be made available to me. We have a better covenant, better promises, and better everything than any previous age. We also have proof every day of people operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, proving that the miracle worker age is fully alive and well. I mean, so many, personally, I was healed from cancer. Okay, so nobody can convince me that God doesn't heal, and it had to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. You hear story after story of things that God did miraculously, and it was done by the Holy Spirit. So, as I said, we have better promises in this age, and the Holy Spirit is the one behind it all. So, reason number 7 that people are not healed, coming close to the end here, the reason they're not healed is they do not prepare their hearts to receive healing. This boils down to a person not taking time with God's word. Real simple. They need to prepare their hearts to receive healing. If you take time with the Lord in his word, you will be prepared. It is important for us to be in a spiritual attitude to receive. So we need to stay continually, daily in the word. When a person is prepared, their faith begins to draw the anointing of the power of God out of the minister, okay? And if they are not prepared, the minister will often feel that the anointing power of God may go out, but then it comes back, all right? And it is not received. Jesus followed some very basics in life: teaching, instructions first, and then the results. Teaching first, and then the results. So when Jesus couldn't do any mighty works in his own town in Nazareth, he went about the villages, it says, in a circuit, teaching. He knew the answer to getting them to believe was teaching. Now, our job is to get the instructions and obey. That's what we need to do. And instructions say, if you can believe, you can receive. It's that simple. All things are possible to him that believeth. Now, as we listen to the word taught, it gets our faith to a point where we are ready to receive. Now, there's some people who need to come and stay under the word and stay as long as possible to gain instruction and then go forward to have hands laid on them to receive. So if you were ever here at the church back when Brother Hagin was here, and even more recently as we've had the Faith Crusades, you know that many times you would hear Brother Hagin say, if you're here for the week and you need healing and you can come to all the services, come on Friday, come up for your healing after you've sat under the word for the week. If a person only can come to one service, they come up, they can be prayed for, sure. But the point is the longer you stay in that atmosphere, the longer and more words you hear, the more preparation your heart is for receiving, okay? So this was so they could build up their faith and receive as the time went on in that time. And same with us. Every day that you're spending time preparing or spending time with the Lord, you're preparing yourself to receive whenever there's a need. So in summary, for reason number 7, prepare your heart with the word before you come forward to receive. Number 8, the number 8 reason that people are not healed, they don't believe it's the will of God to heal them. They don't believe it's God's will to heal. We can't find any scriptures in the Bible where Jesus ever told anyone he didn't want to heal them. He never told them they needed to wait for a month and learn a lesson, nor did he ever say that they were not worthy of healing. And none of us are worthy of healing. We don't deserve it, but that didn't change God and it didn't stop him from healing us, from saving us and doing all that. But God healed us anyway. So once again, there are speculations, assumptions, and traditions of men taught to the body of Christ as reasons why individuals didn't receive their healing, and none of them have any scriptural basis. Let's go to Matthew 8. Let's look at this. Matthew 8, 1 to 4 in the New King James. And this is one of the main scriptures we use as a background here about the will of God. And in the 3 years that Jesus was here on earth in his ministry, we have no scriptural basis where he ever said, it's not my will to heal. Starting at verse 1, Matthew 8, verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, which was not supposed to be done during that time. Jesus wasn't afraid of the leprosy, okay? He put out his hand, touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. I'm willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So Brother Hagin said, the individual who needs healing must be confident with no wavering whatsoever that it is the will of God for him to be healed. The slightest bit of wavering, the slightest bit of questioning will stop the flow of the power. There may be some results, but they maybe won't last. And I've known of people that were healed at crusades and then lost their healing. So there are many in the body of Christ who have doubts about God's will to heal them. The leper didn't question if he could. He knew he could. He must have been seeing things and hearing things. He wanted to know if he would. And there was the answer. He was willing. 1 Peter 2:24 in the New King James. Who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were, past tense, healed. You were healed. Listen to that in the voice. He took on our sins in his body when he died on the cross, so that we, being dead to sin, can live for righteousness. As the scripture says, through his wounds, you were healed. This is not something that's going to happen. It already has. Brother Hagin has said it time and time again. Healing is a fact. It's not a promise to come down the road. It's already an accomplished fact. So if we were healed, then it is proving to us that it is the will of God to heal. This is proof we were healed at Calvary. However, it's up to us to individually prepare by believing his word. We're the ones that determine which way we're going to go when it comes to the believing. So in summary of number 8, once again, the word proves that it is the will of God to heal, and that has never changed. Be prepared to receive once you have fully believed. Be prepared to receive once you have fully believed. So let's pray before the Lord in conclusion. Father God, we always can find truth in your word. So many of us have heard so many different things, and sometimes we've experienced blockages and we've not had correct teaching, and we've displayed or seen people not get healed. But every time we study it out, every time we go back to your word, we conclude that it is your will to heal. We conclude, Father God, that we have to do the changes if we're in unbelief, if we think that you get glory when we are sick. All these things require a change in us and in our heart. So we thank you, Lord, that we do have to prepare to receive and believe. And as we stay in your word, we will build our faith and come out victorious. We're so grateful that Jesus went to the cross, paid the price, took on himself sickness and disease, and we were given in exchange healing. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we are the beneficiaries of your love and of Jesus Christ's crucifixion. Amen. So tonight, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, if you don't know the great physician, Jesus Christ, and you have maybe heard about him, but you didn't ever have that personal relationship, if you pray this simple prayer with me, then you will be born again and you will have eternal life with Jesus Christ. So just repeat after me. Say, dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe that he was crucified, died, buried, but rose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Be the Lord of my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Forgive me of all my sins, and I thank you that I now have eternal life with you. And I give you all the praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer, very simple prayer, you are born again. And we like to help you to get started in the right direction. On the screen, you'll see different ways that you can contact us. You can call us by phone, by mail, or email. And we'd like to send you some information that will help you get started. Because we know that it's like bringing the baby home from the hospital, okay? There has to be certain things done so that the child can grow. And we want you to grow spiritually. I encourage you to find a church somewhere where you will be taught the word. I invite you to come here. You'll certainly be taught the word, but maybe you live at a distance, like maybe down in Florida. But Lord, I just pray that you'll find a good place, stay plugged into the word, and just seek God. And spend time with him, and he will order your steps. In Jesus' name, amen.